Hey, everybody. Hope you had a good weekend. Just want to let you know, December 12th to the 14th, I'm going to be at Go Bananas Comedy Club in Cincinnati. It's Go Bananas. You know it's funny. I always say this because it has bananas in the title. Great club. Been there a bunch. Come on out. If you're in the area, Go Bananas. Go online to get tickets. Had a great weekend. I was actually performing down in Washington, D.C., my old stomping ground where I went to law school. It's great to be back. Appreciate everybody who came out to the DC Comedy Loft. Really good turnout this weekend. Really fun shows. Cool people. And they have great mac and cheese there, by the way. And so it rained all weekend. That was the only downside. So it rained because I was in DC. Basically, if you're traveling, call me or shoot me an email or do some social media, whatever. Find out if I'm going to be where you're going to be, because if I am, you need to bring an umbrella, a poncho, and get flood insurance, because that's how it works. Wherever I am, there's water coming down from above you. My guest this week, my old pal, Adam Carolla. We talk about his new documentary, Shelby American, about Carroll Shelby, the famous car designer, one of the winningest racers in car history, auto racing. And I just a really cool conversation with him about how Shelby came to create one of the most iconic cars in America, the Shelby Cobra, and just what made this guy tick. Just a really fascinating conversation about a really, really interesting guy. I think you're going to enjoy it. And of course, Adam is always fun and funny and passionate. So really fun to have him on the show, and appreciate you guys checking it out. Friend of the show, friend of mine back on the show again. I haven't talked to him in a while, and been nice enough to have me on his show a bunch of times. Adam Carolla, host of the Adam Carolla Show. He's got a new movie out called Shelby American, which is about Carroll Shelby, the famous race car driver and builder of cars, and a really interesting doc on this amazing man's life. Adam, how's it going, buddy? Good to have you on the show again.
Good to talk to you, Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is our latest racing doc, and it's a good one, and it's good timing because, you know, Matt Damon's playing Carroll Shelby in the number one movie in the box office this week. So it just happened to be serendipitous.
Yeah, I was wondering, is that just a coincidence or were you able to time that all out? Because that's pretty amazing.
It's just a coincidence because, I mean, obviously these documentaries take 2 years to make, you know. So we were working on this documentary long before they started shooting Ford v Ferrari, right? So we'd have no idea that they were, you know, it's like I say to everyone, do you know what movies are coming out in 2022? And if the answer is no, that's as much as we knew.
Wow, so you really got a little bit of a horseshoe up your ass on that. That's pretty good.
I don't know what that. We made a movie called The 24-Hour War, which is a better name than Ford v Ferrari, which is about Ford versus Ferrari at the 24 hours of Le Mans, which is what the movie, what the feature's about. So that's trending on Netflix as we speak. So we made two movies basically about the subject before Ford v Ferrari came around.
Wow. You should have called up Damon and said, do you know who you're fucking with? I already made this movie and shut that whole production down. That's what you should have done.
Yeah.
That would have been an interesting call. So Carroll Shelby's this really amazing guy, and I didn't really know much about him until I saw the doc and sort of started researching this a bit. And a really accomplished race car driver, had a heart condition, was a chicken farmer, couldn't race after a while because of the heart condition. But, you know, there was something that he recalled that in his racing experience, that there was something about the combination of the small English Allard and the American V8 engine that was really at the inspiration of the AC Cobra. And explain to people with that a little bit about that, because I thought that was a really... It's interesting how people kind of discover something and then that leads to a great invention, you know?
Well, Carroll Shelby grew up in Texas and he was a poor guy, and he eventually went to Europe. And he went to Europe and started racing in Europe. And when he went to Europe, the tracks in Europe are tighter and windier and have elevation changes in a car. it's not just about straight ahead speed. It's about handling and having a light, nimble, agile car, right? Mm. So we went over there and he kind of learned that lesson. When he came back to the United States, we just had these kind of big lumbering V8 cars. And Shelby was like, we need something light and agile and something that you can brake hard with and throw into a corner and doesn't weigh that much, because weight is really the enemy of a race car. And everyone always thinks about horsepower, and that's great. But if your car's heavy, it won't work. Mm-hmm. So he came up with the idea of getting AC Bristol, who made little English sports cars with four-cylinder engines in them, to give him five chassis. And then he went to Ford and said, you guys got a new V8 power plant. Give me five engines. I'll put the engines in the chassis, and then we'll go out and we'll beat the Corvettes, who were beating everyone at the time. And everyone thought he was nuts. He opened a little shop in Venice, California. He put the V8 in the Cobra, in the Shelby, in what is an AC Bristol. That's why it's an AC Cobra. That's why the badge says AC Cobra on it, because it was made in England. And he figured out that putting the big V8 in the lightweight English European chassis was the combination that was going to win. And all he did was win with those Cobras. Later on, he made a Daytona Cobra, basically put a roof on it because he was going to Daytona and some of the bigger tracks and they needed aerodynamics. And then later on, Ford got hold of him to get involved with the Ford GT to go to Le Mans to beat Ferrari and win outright, which he did.
Yeah, I mean, it, from what I read, that in his racing experience from 1963, that he needed to do further modifications to the Cobra to be competitive with the Ferrari. In particular, he had to, the roadster body had to be replaced with like a lower drag and more enclosed body for these high speed circuits. Is that right?
The Cobra was an open car, you know, convertible.
Yeah.
As you know, and it had the aerodynamics on a convertible are really bad. And it was great and nimble and everything on a smaller road course. But when they went to the big endurance tracks, such as Daytona or Le Mans or places like that, they didn't have the aero to, you know, the Le Mans has a Mulsanne straight. It's like 3.5 miles long. Cars would get up to 210 miles an hour on that thing. The Cobra couldn't do that. So they got together with a young guy named Pete Brock, who's still alive and I'm friends with. And he found some old drawings from some old German drawings from like the 30s on aerodynamics and everything. And he built the Daytona Cobra on a Cobra chassis and put a roof on it and did all. And the thing just went like 25 miles an hour faster in the straightaways. And they went out and whooped up on everyone in that car.
Wow. What was it about Ferrari that was so good at that time that they seemed to be the benchmark to beat, you know, internationally? What were they so great at that other car companies, manufacturers, designers, whatever, couldn't quite crack? What nut couldn't they crack that Carroll did?
Well, what was so great about Ferrari? Ferrari built race cars and he sold some street going cars just to support the racing. Mm-hmm. Everyone else raced cars to support the street car sales. Ford, Chevy, all these places sold, you know, had a few race cars so they could sell their cars they manufactured. They were car companies. They were street car companies that would win on Sunday and sell on Monday. Ferrari was the opposite. Ferrari was a race car company that had to sell a few street cars to support his racing. So they had a lot of experience.
Yeah. Yeah. And their focus, their research all went into that particular part of the business. Do you think that, I mean, he was all, you know, Shelby, you know, before he had to stop, He was also like, he was just a guy into speed. In World War II, he was a flight instructor and a test pilot. Like, it just from the age of a kid, like, it just seems like he was born to do this, right? Like, just this was in his blood. And that's the sense you get from the doc. Like, is that right?
Yeah. He wanted to go fast. And he wanted to go fast in an airplane, or he wanted to go fast in a race car. He just wanted to go fast. I think he just wanted to go fast in life. And he was also a hustler and a businessman, and he just wanted to go out and get some. I mean, yeah. That was kind of his thing, like make hay while the sun shines. If he had a heart condition, he thought he was going to die in 5 years. So I thought he was on the clock all the time.
Yeah. There's some nice footage in the doc, some nice vintage footage. Like, how did you mentioned a couple of years to make the film. Once you started to decide to do this, like, how did you get the footage, and had you had relationships with the family so that you were able to tap into some of this?
Yeah, we did. We were connected with the Shelby family. He has the son and the grandkids, and they helped us get this archival footage and family stuff, and sort of opened, you know, yearbooks or you know, picture books and picture albums and things like that, and gave us access to things that people wouldn't normally have access to. So we were able to make this film with the blessing of the family, and therefore we were able to get archival stuff that's never been seen before because it's in the family owned it.
You know, a lot of times when you make something like this, even if whether it's a doc or it's fiction, you end up, you think you know everything about the subject matter you're talking about, but you learn obviously new things or surprising things. And you're such a car aficionado and you own a lot of great cars yourself. Anything come up in this about Shelby, about the car make racing industry back then or now, or anything that came to light that you didn't realize that was interesting to you?
Well, I had an interesting epiphany yesterday as I was thinking about it a little more globally, but I live in California. California is basically falling apart and everyone's leaving California. Like, all the successful guys I know are sort of telling me about their exit plan of where they're going to move to.
Yeah.
And I mean it, like, if you sit with a guy who makes more than 150 grand a year and he's living in California and he's over 40, they're explaining to you where they're planning on moving to. This place is just crumbling. Literally, California's just falling apart.
Do you mean like fellow performers like us and stuff like that? Or just like anybody in any industry? Just
Guys, Mark Garagos, the attorney, Dr. Drew, guys who are writers and producers, they're all telling me what their plan, what their exit strategy is. And most people, not many people, have moved. They just can't take the climate here anymore. Not the air, but the business and the homeless and the whole regulation and the whole mess. And the thing I realized is Carroll Shelby's from Texas. He came to Venice Beach, California in the 60s because he wanted the freedom that California offered. So he came here from Texas to Venice Beach so he could do his own thing, meaning starting a shop building race cars. Now, you could never go to Venice Beach and open a business where you just built race cars. It'd be so regulated. There'd be so many permits. There'd be so many environmental impact reports. You couldn't do that. Now, everyone in California is moving to Texas so that they can have freedom and do what they want to do. And I just thought it's funny that the Carroll Shelby story is a story of freedom. It's a story of him going, I want to bring cars in from England. I want to bring engines in from Detroit. I'm going to put those engines. They would never let you do that in California
now. Yeah.
You could never do that. There'd be so much red tape, you couldn't do it. So the fact that this guy comes from Texas to California so he can realize his dreams, and now everyone in California, now Venice is crawling with homeless people, and everyone in Venice is going to move to Texas so they don't have to deal with California. It's That was my epiphany.
Oh, my God. You're hilarious. I know you got to jump. I could talk to you all day. We got to do this again when you have more time, because there's so much other stuff I want to talk to you about. And it's been a while since we've talked. But you make a good point. If you look back at American history, if things weren't more loosey-goosey back in the day, there'd be achievements and inventions and things that would never have been achieved because regulation would have gotten in the way. It's a really, really good point, actually.
You could never build a Shelby Cobra today, and if you could, it would not be in California.
right. You could probably maybe get some help. You get some homeless people to help, but they're not very reliable. So, well, listen, it's a really great film, and people should go. Where can they see it right now and stream it right now, Adam?
Chassis.com, Chassy.com, and you can get Blu-rays and DVDs there too.
Okay. And then go to AdamCarolla.com for your podcast and all the other content that you're generating. Hey, it's a great film, man. Congratulations. And say hi to the wife and we'll talk soon, okay?
Thanks, Paul.
Yeah, great to have you on. All right, there you go. That's my pal, Adam Carolla. Check out Shelby American. Awesome, film. I saw it. And please, December 12th to the 14th, if you are in the Cincinnati area. I'm going to be at Go Bananas in Cincinnati. Come on out, check out a show. December 12th to the 14th. You can go online and get tickets. And thanks for checking out the podcast, everybody.